It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Got my hearing checked.
Well, you did.
For the first time in, I'm going to guess, 25 years.
Wow. How'd that go?
Both ears are pretty much the same, and basically all good, except in the very tippy top range, I am a little under normal, just barely. So what this means is we check in a year, and if it's getting worse, then there's a thing. But if it's the same, we're probably good for now.
Okay.
Don't need hearing aids or anything. This one was totally my idea. Nobody suggested, but that's how paranoid I get about, like, it's just weird how many stories I know of, like, real messed up relationships and families, all because one person in the family was unwilling to admit they were losing their hearing. I experienced it firsthand. My dad, a lot of pain and anguish happened in my family because my dad was in denial about losing his hearing over many decades. But I was like, yeah, my dad was weird. And then I've heard so many other stories. I hate to say it, it's almost always the father, and it's almost always the patriarch in a family. But not always, but it's just someone, and they're just unwilling, and they get real frustrated, and people get real frustrated at them for years, and we all know, but we have to pretend, because if you suggest it, they get real defensive about it. Why are you suppressing giggles so hard?
I'm just remembering the last time I had my hearing checked. This was a few years ago.
And?
Well, I had it checked because...
Did you ruin a family while you were on the way in?
No. It was my idea to get it checked because I couldn't hear people. Particularly if there was white noise, like around, like if the... We purchased a thing to, you know, plug into the TV and stuff that I would wear while we all watched television because I couldn't hear it. I would need it turned up. So this was a real problem. So I had went and got it checked. And they said, no, there's nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with it. I said, there is something wrong with it. Why would I go to all this trouble and all this stuff? And I know I can't hear people, but it's usually when there's background noise. I admit that. And that's...
Yeah, and that can be a thing. That's a specific type of issue.
And they said, well, they said it your hearing could be worse than it used to be, is what they told me. But what was funny about it was eventually I got to the point where I was saying, well, I don't know. You know, my wife's constantly saying she's saying stuff and I don't hear. And they just sort of looked at each other with this knowing look. Like, oh.
No.
What? It's not like that at all. I think they thought it was like that, though.
No, like corroborating anecdote. When I'm telling everybody about, I am now at the point where I have a note in the notes app that just called doctor, and it's between my like quarterly visits, like shit I need to talk to him about because I will forget otherwise. Mm. And so the hearing thing was on there. And this visit, as often happens, I had a med student, and they were at the stage in their process where they come in and they ask me a bunch of doctor questions, and then the doctor comes in. And they tell them what they asked and what I answered. And I think she must be like first year or something. Like this is, I've had ones where like they do the doctoring and then tell him later. But this one was like just practicing asking the questions and stuff. But so it comes up in this. And so she's in there when it's happening. And my doctor, I love my doctor. I would, you can pry my doctor from my cold dead hands. He has a couple of idiosyncratic things where, like, because he's very good at keeping up on stuff, and he will tell you what the latest, like, right now studies are suggesting we should run these tests when you're this age and something. So he has a lot of that. But there are sometimes just things that I'm like, and he's also glad he doesn't have to do it yet. Like, I have a thing that he personally is really wanting to wait as long as possible to put his finger up my butt. Like, not that he should want to, but it's just like, my dad had prostate cancer, and like, we talk about it, and every time there's like, well, you know, the new study on the, and we're not to the like time that everybody should, but he just keeps sort of being like, ah, and I'm just like, I think he just doesn't, and he knows he's gonna have to eventually, but he's like holding off as long as he can. But so I tell him this, I'm like, I want to get the hearing thing. And I swear to God, his response is, he looks at me and he's just like, okay, but like, if there's something wrong, all that's going to happen is you're going to have to get hearing aids. Like, I don't know where that came from. I'm just like, yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, I know that.
And B, unless you have a new third option I'm aware of besides get hearing aids or be fucking deaf. What? I knew that's how the process.
Yeah, that's, we like, pretty much all know.
I want to get my hearing checked, but I listen to me carefully. Look at my face here. No hearing. No matter what happens, no fucking hearing aids. You have to promise me that before we start this hearing exam. Like, I don't know what his issue was, but
that's funny.
I talked about the same thing with the dads that have ruined families because they won't admit their, and how this is a thing for me. And I have told my wife, I said, the day you say, I think you're starting to lose your hearing, I will go get a hearing test. I'm like, but she hasn't said that. What happened is I'm noticing that I have trouble hearing her sometimes. And I'm like, I think she's mumbling or not. But then the real tip off recently is I'm easily startled, and it can happen. She gets this too sometimes. We're in a different part of the house. We come in, we scare the other one. And so a thing now is we make noise. Like, you come in and you know, knock on the wall on the way or something like this. And we are getting, I've had far too many times recently where she walks in, I freak out, my heart jumps into my throat, and I'm just like looking at her, and she'll look at me and she'll say, I made so much noise. I don't. And so now I'm like, maybe it's a thing. I have decent enough insurance. Let's find out. It was such a big deal. And they thought it was so hilarious to tell me how I should be so proud for deciding for myself that I couldn't hear my wife. Like, that's to be able to admit, like it's a thing. Like, yeah. That I'm a guy, a husband who can say, there may be something wrong with my hearing. I can't, like, that apparently doesn't happen. And so it's a big deal, because apparently we all just don't listen to our wives and we're unwilling to admit that. This is where you and I run into problems, because we're not really guys, but people assume we're guys and they'll say things, and every guy is like, okay, yeah, but we're like, huh?
No. Yeah, like, I'm sure they were thinking, oh, he's watching a football game and he's zoning out. But I don't do that. I don't even watch television at all without her watching with me. And we're usually talking about it. So, yeah, there it was. And I knew usually when I couldn't hear her, there was water running. There was some white noise going on almost every single instance. So I knew what I even told them that before we started. I said, this is a white noise, I can't hear things problem. But well, they said there was nothing wrong with except they said, and I hear my ears ring pretty much constantly, by the way.
Well, this is what I was wondering, if it's a tinnitus thing.
Well, okay. So they said that. They said I had, and they pronounced it that way. How'd you just pronounce it?
Tinnitus is when we were in our day, it was tinnitus.
Yeah.
We switched it at some point, and I think Tony Randall was forcing us all to say tinnitus in those PSAs that he did. And then once he died, we could all say it the right way.
Well, it, right. It, I mean, and it should be pronounced the way you're pronouncing it, because you know, in usually itis in anything is like an inflammation or something. And it's not that. That's not what the itis in the word stands for. So we should all be pronouncing it the way you did, because that's the proper pronunciation.
Most people should all be doing things the way I do.
But I, for some reason, I can never remember how it's pronounced properly. But yes, they told me
had that. When we were younger, everybody said tinnitus.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Randall forced us all.
No, that's...
And my dad, the doctor told my dad he had tinnitus. That's how we all said
that. You know, like tonsilitis, right? Is that the inflammation of your tonsils?
Well, it sounds very medical.
But it's not an inflammation thing. Itis means something else.
Tinnitus sounds like one of the lesser known suitors in the Odyssey.
But anyway, so they kind of made a joke out of it, right? And, you know, Abby came in and we were all kind of sitting around laughing about it. But I mean, I think when they saw us interacting, they could see that we didn't really have the kind of relationship where I, you know, where I would just be ignoring her watching a game or something. I mean, I think they could see that we both thought this was serious and real. So.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I don't know.
You and I don't fit into a lot of these common things, and we get very confused. In our house, it's not like I'm sure you are like this because you're weird, but it's not like we listen to everything that we talk a lot. I talk a lot. And a lot of the things I talk about are not interesting to anyone. But my wife lives with me and has to listen. But she doesn't sometimes. And like, that's, nobody pretends that somebody's hearing is bad or anything.
Right.
Like, she'll be like, I wasn't listening. You would not shut up about that video game that you don't even play that I've never seen. It's not that interesting. I caught a couple bits.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know what you were saying. She won't be like, you got to speak up or like,
yeah, right. No,
like we ignore each other like every good married couple, but sure. We're just like, I was ignoring you because you're boring.
Well, I mean, yes, this does happen where I'm sorry, I was distracted by something else or I didn't understand a word you just said. We'll just admit that. We're not going to pretend we just couldn't hear. If I say I didn't hear it, that is what I truly believe happened. I didn't hear it or it was, well, and another problem is, that we have is we both can kind of like mumble to ourselves sometimes. Like we didn't really expect anyone to hear it or respond or anything. So sometimes the reason I could hear her making a noise like she was talking, but I didn't think she was talking to me. And probably 80% of the time she's not, because I will sometimes say, are you talking to me? No, talking to the onion or whatever it is. So, you know, so there's reasons to not pay attention to everything that, out of either one of our mouths or whatever. But we know the difference between something like that versus, hey, sorry, I wasn't paying attention versus I honestly cannot hear what you're saying. Because if you're not, I mean, why would I go? I made the decision to go here and have my hearing tested if I didn't believe it. I mean, if I'm lying, I'm not going to commit like that.
No, but they're also like, yeah. He made the decision. Yeah, she helped him figure out to make, like, they're assuming.
Yeah, well,
so
that's
much...
true, too. Right. I think there was some of that. But it was so funny. The whole thing was hilarious to me. But I still have a problem with hearing things with if there's white noise. I do. I don't. If it's in my head, then it's in my head. But it's a thing.
Well, and, like, I don't think they're doing a lot about that because I'm not. As near as I can tell, that's the part they haven't cracked super well. Like hearing aids, often people don't like them because it just makes everything louder, and so background noise issues become worse, and so they may not sort of be dealing with that because they don't have an answer for what to do about it anyway.
Well, and see, that's,
I know,
another
specifically with tinnitus there are things, because there are devices that will make essentially a counter noise in your head that eventually your brain sort of balances it out.
Well, and I didn't notice anything they did that seemed to test that problem, right? Like, yeah, I don't remember a test where there was.
No, I don't.
No,
think
you
I
know
had
what I mean.
Either.
And then they said, "Well, can you hear this?" I mean, like, I didn't feel like my claim was even really being tested. Like, okay, so, and I think it's what you're saying is, and I have heard about that where people, like, well, all the hearing aid does is it amplifies all the noises, and my problem is not the loudness of sounds, it's the mixture of sounds and how they
how and I mean I don't want to say there's nothing, but that seems to be the nut that's really being tough to crack, because I'm hearing no pun intended, more and more people who get hearing aids and they're like, it helps in these situations. In these situations, it's much worse, and it frequently has to do with background noise, and to the degree that like they have to be very sort of selective about when they have them in and not and stuff like that.
But the one thing that they were testing, which should have maybe covered some of this, is because when it's white noise or something that's making it hard for you to hear, the explanation for that, the scientific explanation, is that the white noise is canceling out certain frequencies, right? That they can, and that they can test with their normal tests. Like, is he hearing this frequency? Is he hearing that frequency? Which apparently I was, but I don't know if, but like I was hearing them like through headphones when there was no other sound, just those frequencies. Right. I think the problem is when there's something else in the room that's blocking those frequencies, that's when it's hard for
me.
But I didn't see how they were testing that. I don't know.
It was actually other thing parts. You, if you were aware of it, it would invalidate. So they couldn't tell you. There are a lot of secret cameras. Since I haven't done it in so long, I wasn't used to being like locked in a bathysphere for the process. Like you are all sealed up and she's in a different room with a window, and I'm just waiting for them to flood it with gamma rays. It was a lot. My favorite one in our household with the hearing is one of us will say something and the other one will go, "What did you say?" And then the first one will be like, "I know, it sounds, just hear me out, okay? It's not like that. I meant," and they'll start explaining. And then the other one has to go, "No, I genuinely didn't hear the words."
Yeah, right.
"This was not me being shocked by what you said. This was," and they'll be like, "Oh, okay." And I'm like, "But clearly, whatever you said, you're not 100% behind, because you were already backpedaling." So,
yeah, then we get that one too.
So I'll take that in mind when you say it again now.
So our granddaughter has this habit where sometimes you'll say something or ask her a question, and she'll, it seems random because whatever it is you're saying doesn't seem to be like strange or controversial or anything else, but she'll just look at you and go, "What?" Like, let's just look on her face. Like, and all you can do is think, "What did I say that was so disturbing to this child?" And so we were saying to her mom, I was like, "Where did she get this? Is she doing this at your house too?" "Oh yeah, all the time. I don't know where she got it." And then they were all over, and Delmer's like sitting on my lap, and he says something kind of unintelligible to his mom, and she goes, "What?" Said, "Yeah, just like that. That's what Freya does." And then the look on her face was like, "Ah, crap, it's me."
We love that. I've told this before, I'm sure. It's one of the great stories. But there was, when there was only one child next door at this point, or the other one was small enough that they were basically an object, but whatever. And the little one was done, and she could walk now and stuff, so she's doing her stuff and she can do Netflix, but just the kids, like she kind of knows enough that she can go in the room, she knows how to turn on the TV and pick the kids thing and whatever, but it wasn't working. And so she comes in and she's like, I can't, Netflix won't do what I say," or something, and then she stomps her foot and holds up her hand and just goes, "God damn it." And we, almost all of us, are just like, "Hands have to be here. We can't. This is not. If we give in to laughing, this is going to be her thing now."
Yeah, reinforcing.
But then all of us turn and don't look at her. We look to the one other person, her father, who is just bright red, because we all know that phrase in that tone exactly. And so all of us in the room are like, "We know where she heard that one." And he's just like, and his face is just purple. And then somebody got up and helped her with the thing, but we were just like,
yeah, it's pretty funny when a kid does something, everyone's like, "Where did they get that?" And then
But I also knew somebody who got on some meds for mental health issues the day they saw their 3-year-old come in frustrated and fling their shoes across the room and hit a wall. And she's like, oh shit, I think I did that. Like, she realized I have issues and my child is
imitating them. Yeah,
I should do something about this.
Yeah, so the grandkids are huge imitators. I just don't even remember that among kids when I was, that I observed growing up. I mean, kids imitate, of course, but like to the degree that these kids do, I'm like, wow, this is, I mean, people don't, I think people don't think about it really enough, you know, how much kids are picking up. And even if they don't imitate it, it's getting in there, right? Yeah, and you never know when in their life it's going to come back or come up. I don't know, people don't really think about it that much, but I mean, you know, you can't be thinking about that all the time. But
in my old age, I'm really fascinated by picking out sometimes physical characteristics, but things in children that are their parents. Like I like doing, like, oh, my two nieces pose for pictures using the exact same smile that their mom used. Like, there's just something about it that, or like, oh, you do that, and yeah, so does your dad. Like, I find that stuff very interesting. So I think most people don't think about it, and especially not with you. That's also the thing, is some changes are so hard to see when you're in close. If you see the kid every day, you just are used to things that somebody mm-hmm. else is like, hey, mm-hmm.
that's right.
So
yeah, I see things in the kids that Alex used to do all the time, their mom Alex, all the time. And sometimes they're uncles, so it's like or Abby's siblings, so you know, things that I don't remember the kids doing, but I know that their other relatives did, because people don't think about that sometimes either, how they behaviorally they can get stuff from like grandparents that seems to have skipped a generation, you know. It's yeah. really interesting. It's
and it and it becomes weird because it becomes nature and nurture. There's so yeah, much
right
stuff.
It's so interesting.
Some of my mental health issues, like, are sort of diagnosed coming down through my maternal line. We've got a history of certain diagnoses and mm-hmm. things, and also certain, and all that makes sense. But I've recently had a few things that I just sort of associate, because they are things that I think of as like anxiety issues, which is a lot of what that is. But I recently had a couple ones where I'm like, the way I've been behaving, my dad used to do that a lot. And now he's dead and he never was diagnosed or anything. But suddenly I'm like, maybe this is a couple different, maybe it's not all what I think it is coming
yeah,
through.
Right. Yeah.
And then the thing gets in the way of, like, if it's you and I, we find this very interesting academically, whether or not it will help to process it is a different issue.
No, that's true.
Like, I have this, yeah. I've occasionally back in the day with my therapist, I'll be asking stuff and eventually I'm just like, this was all just stuff that I was interested in learning about myself. I don't think this is actually helping any of my current issues. So.
Yeah.
But that's why I have you. I sit around and we can just talk about trauma for fun.
Yeah, for fun.
As opposed, we don't have to have a result by the end.
No.
I would like to say, hello, everyone. Welcome. Magical Talking Head podcast, the only podcast in the world that is not about hearing tests, but will apparently use up half an episode talking about hearing tests and hearing test adjacent properties. And don't all of you act like this isn't very on brand for us. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 735.
735.
Yep.
And here we are.
After all these years.
Mm-hmm, at Peter's Donuts. For those of you just joining us, we talk about our hearing tests. Since I haven't had one in 25 years, there's just been a lot of silence recently. No, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com, with stuff, notes, comments, questions, topics, whatever they feel like. The hat magically on its own forwards the emails to us. We read them, talk about them until we're bored, and that's it. And new thing I want to put out there, most of our listeners, as far as we know, actually know us in real life. Some of you don't, whatever, but at least for me, I know it's highly variable in terms of what contact information they have for me. Some of these people I know in real life, but haven't seen in years. Some of these people I know in real life and I talk to regularly via text or email or whatever. For those of you who don't have that kind of contact information for either of us or for one of us, or who don't know us, if you ever do want to tell us something and you're like, I don't want to put it on a blog or whatever, we have a small enough listener base that you can email us and we'll listen. If you ever want to email the hat and say, like, this is not for the podcast, this is a private thing or whatever, do it. We'll read it. I mean, I don't, and I'll probably reply, but I mean, I can't promise it'll be useful, but I feel like we are a small enough thing that everybody should have a line of communication to us that doesn't have to be public. And that email address, I've worked out a deal with the hat and it's willing to do this for us. So I just thought I'd put that, because every once in a while it comes up where I will see somebody and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen you in years. And they're like, yeah, I meant to tell you things, but I didn't have access except on your podcast. And I didn't want to talk there. Here we are. So I thought I'd put that out there. Anyway, how was your week? We had pancakes today. Well, did you have any pancakes?
Did not have
pancakes. I had pancakes and a piece of French toast. We went to IHOP on accident because I went there on autopilot. But it was tasty. It was nice.
Let's see. We did watch some things. I know we did.
What did you watch?
Well, I just don't remember. I need to like write it down like you do on my phone so I can say, oh yeah, we watched this thing.
Tell me at breakfast. So.
I know. And it must not have made much of an impression. Like, you know, as I did say, Abby's playing Diablo 4. And, you know, we're always watching like documentaries of various kinds that, you know, I don't often talk about because nobody's interested in what documentaries I'm watching. But it seems like we watched The Heretic. What? What's the matter?
I'm excited. I was sorry you hadn't seen it before. I talked about it. I saw this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
This hit me. This was, I had a strong...
I saw it because of what you said about it.
Okay. So tell me, talk. What did
you think? Well, I mean, I thought it was very well made, first of all. The acting was all very good.
I know two of the three main ones, but like I'm watching them in that, I'm like, I'm going to pay attention to these actors.
Yeah. Going forward. And I thought it was well written, well put together. There were a few things I would have done different to make certain moments more earned, in my opinion. But I mean, you know, it's like this is very interesting and quite good. I mean, I think it's one of those movies that certain people like myself and Abby are both these types of people who will watch this. And even if there are issues we have with it, you know, artistically, it's going to provoke some conversation. And I'm not going to say that all of the philosophical stuff in the film was like groundbreaking or anything, but no. It's perfectly provocative, and we like films like that. You know, we like films that aren't just, oh, that was fun and we're done talking about it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. And yeah, it was one of those that as soon as we finished it, we had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's usually a good sign. And it wasn't a conversation about it being terrible.
Right. Right. So yeah, we liked it.
I have recently heard an analysis that feels like the third act kind of fell apart a little bit. And I get that, but I think it's another one of those, you and I talked about this with other things earlier today. Whatever the final result was never going to be as impressive as what we were like.
Yeah.
It's a landing that would have been impossible to stick perfectly. And it's fine. I mean, I think it was a coherent ending that gave a very interesting finale. Yes, I would agree. It wasn't quite the promise of the first part of the movie in the same way. But then again, one could argue that's something of the point in it. The other thing is, I will say, and this is, I'm sure a huge swaths of people who watch this feel this way. There were, everything they said that I knew of was accurate, but there were some very important, I think, missing pieces of key establishing information about the history of Monopoly that was left out, because it is a really interesting and kind of tragic history that I feel wasn't in there. And I know a lot of us landlord game stands were upset that they didn't give the whole picture.
Yeah, sure.
In this, Secret Galaxy did a great job of the history of Monopoly. If you really want all the details, it is a really interesting thing. I'm being facetious, and I'm only saying that because I can't see the audience. I only have William to go on, and William's face is like, I'm genuinely saying some useful. Was a joke.
I know,
but that. I will say the history of the landlord game is fascinating, and Secret Galaxy does have a good video on it.
And that is a great channel, by the way. People should check that channel out.
It's a really fun channel if you like pop culture stuff and old pop culture stuff. I watch every good. One.
They're great.
And sometimes I learn cool stuff about things I already thought I knew about. But when I was watching it, I was genuinely like, but you didn't mention this, because I do think it's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
But yeah, the history of that game is weird, and I actually paused it and turned to Trish. I'm like, what they didn't tell you is the landlord game, actually you could play it too, and this whole other thing. But anyway,
yeah, we did see that. We like
real it. Blown away by Hugh Grant in it, because it's like he's still charming, and he's like from jump clearly the bad guy. Like, there's no question. He somehow is like a version of Hannibal Lecter that you still think is probably cool. Like, and only Hugh Grant could do it. It's He took all of those rom-coms he made and all the charisma out of that and put that into just being this fiend that's still just kind of a nice dude. Like, it's so
well.
Amazing performance.
The character on paper kind of demands him because.
Oh yes, I mean,
that's kind of the point of the whole thing, and I don't want to give anything away. But when you watch it and you realize, you know, the larger point he was trying to make and the questions he's asking near the end, it's like the character had to be like that. And it is hard to imagine another actor who could be that. It really is.
It is one of those few times where I'm like, this is a difficult acting role. And not because it'd be difficult to go through, like it's traumatic to play or whatever, but because there is nuance here that is necessary, not just improve. This character doesn't work without pulling off the nuance in a way that people can see.
Yep.
And he nailed it. I have a lot of things I can say about this movie, but it's mostly just him. He's amazing. But I do like they played a real fun game. They did real well of establishing the two other characters and then sort of pivoting on you. Like, you really got good sort of establishing senses of who they were. And then as the movie went on, you got to be surprised in ways that felt earned. But there's a fun sort of you think one of the girls is like this and one is like this. And as it goes, it kind of like it's interesting in fun sort of subtle ways. And I do lament it is of such it is, I think, doing an interesting and fairly respectful and intellectual thing with some very radioactive topics. Yeah. And so there are a lot of people that for a lot of different reasons won't like this movie or won't watch this movie because of misconceptions. And in some cases, misconceptions while you watch it. Like, I had this old, Trish was just like, you know, we were talking about, like, why did it have to be Mormons? And I'm like, it absolutely had to be Mormons, having nothing to do with the tenets of their faith. The role that the Latter-day Saints play in modern American society hits the perfect spot of the Venn diagram of the perfect kind of faith to put in this movie, but it didn't have to be about that them. It has nothing to do with their beliefs and their actions. It is just, they have all the right components for a generic religion that would fit this role. And so I feel so bad of people who are like, I was that way. The original reason I partly wasn't into it is I don't believe in LDS doctrine at all, but I grew up surrounded by it and had so many friends who believe it, and I understand their belief. And I'm like, I won't watch the Book of Mormon. And I've heard some of it's really cool or whatever. And I mean, I've watched them make fun of other religions, but I'm just like, I don't want a full, I've read it up on it. And I'm like, I don't think it's saying anything wrong. I think it's accurate, but I'm just like, I don't want to watch making fun of Mormons for 2 hours.
But even the two young ladies had a brief thing about it, right?
Right. Like, they had a thing about
the Book of Mormon, that South Park thing. I watched it and I thought some of the songs were pretty funny. I mean, which I think reflects the kind of what there's, like, half of the Mormons think, oh, this is actually quite funny. And so some of the half are offended.
And we've just got one of the major filmmakers is married to an LDS lady, and another one who was formerly in the church and still has, like, there's a lot of stuff involved here, but I get it. I mean, I'm not decrying anyway. I see a tragedy here that this movie will be misunderstood or not seen by people who are like, I don't want anything to do with that, or I don't want it in a bad light, or this came up recently. I don't remember what culture video. I watch a lot, but it was something about movies that recently, like, bombed hard for whatever. And what one thing that came up was The Apprentice, which is the biopic of Trump that just happened last year, I think. And Sebastian Stan plays him. And apparently Sebastian Stan did a good enough job. He got an Oscar nomination for it. But the movie bombed. And I'm sitting here going, I mean, yeah, I didn't want to see it. But they pointed out one of the main reasons it probably bombed is people who don't like Trump don't want to see a movie about him right now because they don't want to spend their free time thinking about it. And people who do like Trump don't want to see a biopic where he's shown negatively, which apparently this one he is, at least to some degree. So this is a movie for at least zero Americans. And I was like, yeah, I didn't think about that. But like, no one would want to see that movie for different reasons.
Sure.
But like,
I mean, and there are independents who just aren't going to care at all. I mean, you know, there's no audience for it. That's correct.
Although, to be fair, I think the number of these people in this country who are like, I have a pretty chill, neutral opinion of Donald Trump is probably a pretty small number lately. I sense that. But I've been incredibly wrong about how this country feels before, so who knows. I got some things here, too, but I am so happy you saw The Heretic. I'm a little annoyed. That would have been half of our conversation at breakfast.
I'm sorry, I forgot to bring it up.
We did talk. I am now caught up on Severance. There's not a lot that you can say without spoiling shit or making no sense, depending on how you do it. I liked it. The second half I was not as good. And I was just telling you that I think a lot of these strange sci-fi and fantasy, like mystery weird shows that seem really exciting, about a season and a half in, they start to sort of spiral out of control. And I think it's because they have to start giving answers, and the answers can't be as cool as the hype has been, you know. But it's all right, and it's fun. And if this had been the ending of the series, it would have been kind of ambiguous, but I could have gone with it. I kind of see it.
I agree with that, by the way. Yeah,
it could have worked. I would have been like, I could have, but I'm also one of the people who played the original Mass Effect 3 ending and thought it was fine. So who knows? I project a lot of things onto endings and then I'm fine. So it's not a thing. But knowing there's another season and knowing there was always going to be, but like it's official, I'm like, I don't enjoy the idea of where we go from this. This leaving it there, but like I don't know. A lot of the reveals weren't that interesting. I don't know where we go from here. It more and more started feeling like later seasons of Westworld, which I didn't even watch, but I read up on them and it was like, I'm really glad I didn't watch them. Like I don't know. I will almost certainly watch the third season, but depending on how it goes, I might be out. I asked you earlier in his bed, I said, is this a Lost? Because it's starting to feel like it might be a Lost, and I don't want it to. It seems like they don't know where they're going yet. And I don't like a mystery that you introduce and you don't have an answer.
Yeah.
Like you have to, this is the thing, and people really love that Choose Your Own Adventure Bandersnatch movie on Netflix that was a Black Mirror thing. And I hated it. And the reason I hated it was very simple, is every ending was a different ending. Like it wasn't like there was a story and there was an answer and each one just gave you sort of a different perspective. Like every time the answer, so I was like, so there's no story. It's a bunch of very short stories that by themselves aren't super interesting, but there's no actual story here. And so it's the same thing. If you're like, oh, what's going on? At some point, I'm going to want to know what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on yet, then everything you're hinting at here means nothing, because you're hinting at a thing that doesn't exist. And I feel like Severance is hinting at a thing that doesn't currently exist.
Yeah, I get that impression too. And, you know, part of it is for season two, a lot of things happen, and by the end, you are told what they're trying to do, who the main person they're trying to get to do it, why they're doing it, and all this. And then if you look back, maybe if you watch the season again, you know, episode for episode, you're like, now, how did this thing they did serve that purpose that they finally revealed at the end? Why? How did this thing serve that purpose? And, you know, one of the things that was required, and I don't think this would be giving anything away, is for Mark, the main character in the office, to perform a certain task that we almost never saw him performing. And it wasn't apparent how each thing they were doing was going to get him to do it. Yeah. In fact, some of the things specifically took him away from the office. So, I mean, it was kind of incomprehensible in those ways. So that's what kind of indicated to me, like, I don't think they have a plan. I think they think that this, like, season two was, let's show them a whole bunch of cool things, which they did. They were cool. I loved watching it. But it didn't feel like a tight kind of, they really know what they're doing.
We did pull things in, but some of them felt like, I can imagine somebody sitting around saying, how are we going to tie this in?
Yeah, right. Right.
And the side version of that, I meant to mention this to you at breakfast, actually. So much of the coolness of it is the weird aesthetic choices.
Mm.
And I guess part of me was like, what's that going to be about?
Hmm.
And I think the answer is ultimately going to be they thought it was fun to do weird. I mean, like some general things, but like certain things, scenes, like why were those people dressed this way? Or like why did you do it that way? Oh, because we thought it looked wacky and cool and mysterious.
Yeah.
I think that is what we did that. And that's such a disappointment.
Right, because... Like,
this is a strange company with mysterious practices. So guess what? They also have the fashion sense of Willy Wonka for no... Like just random shit.
Yeah, and...
It's like when they used to do vampire games and there's a clan in the game. Their whole thing is that they're insane. And everybody who ever played one, including me, just made them wacky. And that was the insane thing. But that's not insane. One time I ran a game where somebody played one of these guys and he gave him an actual neurological condition and played him as a very normal person except for that one thing. And my mind was blown. I was like, you mean he's actually just got a mental illness like he's supposed to? He's not acting like Harley Quinn all the time? Like, wow. And that's the whole thing. I think Lumen just likes dressing as Harley Quinn, and I'm kind of annoyed that that's the reason they're wearing the Harley Quinn outfit.
And so when you asked me if this was like Lost, the reason I said yes was because one of the things I used to say to people about Lost was, you guys, it's basically a haunted island. And as soon as you say it's a haunted island, you can do anything you want. I mean, here's an example. If you're making a haunted house movie, all that has to be established is it's a haunted house, and you can literally do anything you want, and nobody's going to care. But if you start thinking, no, it's not just a haunted island, it's this, and you start thinking there's a formula, no. Now, this is the same. There's a cult of some kind associated with this workplace. And I think the writers
That's a little bit spoilers. Be careful. We're getting too close.
Sorry. But I think
that is like a mid-season one revelation, I would say.
You think so? Oh, I thought it was really early. It
was for me. I was surprised.
Oh, I'm very sorry. Okay, I didn't mean to give anything away. But I think the point I was going to make was, I think to the writers...
Of course there's a cult.
I think to the writers, it's like, that's all you need to know. So now we can do whatever we want, because that's how cults work, right? It does feel like that's the case.
This is like, I just the other night I was talking with people about the horror movie thing of like cell phones fuck up horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so people bend over backwards of like, oh yeah, the meteor shower is gonna mess it up, or I've got metal in my walls for some reason. Apropos of nothing, or every haunted house now has to really be far away because it has to be so far you don't get a signal anymore. But then the smart ones are just like, there's a ghost. The ghost can make your phone not work.
Yeah, right. The ghost can do anything.
The ghost can even let you call, and then just when you're like, we're saved, their voice gets real low suddenly and they laugh and you're like, oh shit, ghost fuck up phone. Like, yeah. And that is an unassailable plot decision.
Yes.
You go ahead and argue against me that ghosts can fuck up phone. You're like, technically, actually, I think you'll find ghosts walk through walls, make a teacup float, a spooky laugh. Ghosts can no fuck up phone. I have read on the subject, cannot do it. Cold Sorry. Spots, yes. Ghosts cannot fuck up phone. Certainly can't talk on one. What are they talking on? Their ghost phone? I mean, be serious. Like, you can't argue this. It's the same way you can't argue time travel in Doctor Who. The answer is always a wizard did it.
Yeah.
And you can't fight against that. And they keep trying. Stop it. If you have a ghost, it's insulting to the ghost to imply that you have to bring in another option. The ghost is like, you can't trust me to kill the cell reception? Have you seen the coverage USA, I mean, Jesus Christ.
But here's the, but this you is know, what I'm saying.
This is not my first haunting.
To some writers, if it's haunted, if it's, yeah, if it's time travel, if it's a cult, if there's all these things that if that's your plot device, it means you can do whatever you want. And for some people, I mean, I think the haunted one's pretty safe.
Don't even. For everybody who's not you and me, this is where all of this falls apart. You and I are 100% right in these things, but we're the only ones who care. We're like, no rules, fine. Some rules, well, then the rules have to make sense. Yeah, and right. Other people are like, as long as 50 to 70% of the rules make sense, I'm good. And I'm like, no, that's not how rules work.
I know, but
if you have some rules that don't work in the system, you have no rules. Let's stop pretending.
Right.
And you
right,
and
right.
I understand this, but no one else cares.
Well,
it's just
I don't,
you and me.
But because there are, just like with
they're
Lost,
they're all wrong.
Just but... like with Lost, there are theorists, right, who want to guess how everything works. And those people care. And they care a lot. And they get really disappointed if it doesn't turn out that their little pet theory was correct. When, again, I think you guys would save yourself a lot of trouble and anxiety if you just realized, no, this is just a haunted whatchamajigger, and that they're just, anything can happen. That's all
yeah,
you need to know.
Yeah, but the guys who need to realize that are the writers, and I don't know if the writers. Because, again, well, stop trying to put rules in.
Yeah.
I don't get mad at Doctor Who anymore.
So you,
I used to get mad at Doctor Who, and then I'm like, wait, they don't have rules.
It's now here's,
they literally invented the phrase wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah. But here's the difference between Lost and Severance so far is the Lost producers would like interact with people and kind of promise that there were rules, kind of promise that there were going to be answers. Nobody in Severance has come along and said, hey, if you guys have questions, we're going to have a whole bunch of answers. Nobody has said that. Nobody has really promised that unless you think the show has. I'm not sure the show has, but maybe you think it has.
No, I'd say that's fair. I just don't care about that. I mean, it's helpful if they told me up front.
Yeah, okay.
But if I get to the end and I'm like, you made rules, but not enough, or you broke them, and they said, we never said we wouldn't do that. I'm like, that doesn't make the show I just watched any less shitty.
Sure. I get you.
Or as if you get to the end and I'm like, you made rules and they made sense. And they're like, yeah, we were kind of making them up, but we wanted to make sure they fit together. I'd be like, I don't care. That doesn't make the show I watched any less awesome. It's right. All about me. As the end user, it's all about my experience. I don't care how the sausage is made. If you told me that the Princess Bride killed 40 orphans to get that sword fight scene, I would be fine. It was a good movie. Just saying.
It was a good movie.
It's a very good movie. I mean, they died for a good reason. This is they are more famous than me, and I am a full ass human, not an orphan.
What is wrong with you?
I tripped. I tripped in my line of reasoning. I stumbled.
What happened there?
There was a left turn. I did not.
Oh my god.
Orphans are humans.
Yeah, let's make that perfectly clear.
I would like to make this unequivocal.
No, that's got to be the title of the episode now, because we have to make it absolutely clear.
It does, or we're ruined.
We don't want.
I want to make it extremely clear. Orphans are. I mean, human orphans. You aren't. Other species don't become human when their parents die. That's not even a political issue. I just don't want people thinking I misunderstand science that bad. All humans are humans, even the orphans are humans. Oh. Oh, I've ruined our podcast. What were we talking about? So yeah, Severance. It's not quite lost. It might be later.
Might be later.
We'll have to see.
Oh gosh.
There's a woman who features very heavily in the show in places. To not spoil anything, I will tell you it is the actor who plays Miss Casey. You should know who that is.
I know who that is.
So sometimes you watch somebody in something and later you watch them in a different thing and you're a pervert. And one of the things you watch them in, they were naked. And so you're watching them in another thing and your brain's like, it's weird to watch this. I've literally seen this person naked. It's very strange to watch them doing this. And if you're a gross person, you say that out loud. I'm not gross like that. But I did have to say something out loud recently when we were watching, because I said, this is so weird for me because I've seen that woman like a dozen naked ones of her fighting a bunch of other naked people.
What?
She was a major character in the first season of Altered Carbon, the sci-fi series that involved creating clones of your body. And the climactic thing involves a huge fight of just a bunch of naked clones as they get out of the vat. And so like a whole bunch of them are her. And but like I've also had this experience. I've seen a lot of naked Joel Kinnamans also. But like he just does action stuff. It's very weird to see like very straight-laced dramatic performance. And like, weren't you just like a crowd of naked yous like fighting dudes with knives and shit?
She was so in
very unusual experience.
She was in that TV show. Was Doll's House or Dollhouse?
Dollhouse.
She was in that.
Wow.
She was really good.
That is very interesting, given thoughts I had related to Severance this season.
Well, she was super good.
That show popped into my head.
Yeah. I'd still recommend the show, though.
She's been a few things. It's just the first thing I ever saw her in was the thing where there was a dozen naked ones fighting. And so it's always jarring. But I think she's good. I've seen her in a few things now. I think she's good.
I'd still recommend it to people. I think it's a good show. It's an interesting show. And I've discovered that the ending can say how you respond to the ending can say a lot about you, your personality.
I've come to
realize that
it's like your favorite Ninja Turtle.
What what do you mean?
Your favorite Ninja Turtle
says a lot about your personality. Oh,
there, the four humors that cracked After Hours did a great video on this. The four humors as they were believed in antiquity correspond to four personality types that show up throughout media. Another version is Sex in the City. The foursome are you a Carrie? Are you a Miranda? Are you a Samantha? Whatever.
I think the Wizard of Oz a little bit.
Yeah. I think Scooby-Doo gets that way.
Maybe a little. Yeah.
But the Ninja Turtles is the famous one because if you were a certain age and you were a boy and you weren't William, that was your thing. You frequently gravitated to a group of boys who you would each have like that. That was the balanced group, was to have one of each of them. And everybody had a favorite Ninja Turtle. Again, if you weren't William, and you? I don't want to gender this too much. The number of women of a certain age I know who have their favorite Ninja Turtle, and most of the continuing diehard Ninja Turtle fans of my age range that I know now are women. I don't know what that means, but it's true.
Did you have a favorite Ninja Turtle?
Mine has varied a little bit. I used to think I was a Leonardo. This actually makes sense pretty well. I used to think I was a Leonardo, and then I accepted my position as a Donatello, and nowadays I might just be a Michelangelo.
Well,
I'm not a Raphael. Only if you're a Raphael, you're a sociopath. But
you have to understand. A Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was kind of after my time. I mean, a little too old.
Yeah, you are very old.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can exclude me from the list since I didn't even have a chance to be the age that
I
would
mean, I
watch the
was it
TV show.
Who is your favorite monkey? I guess I don't know. What's your thing?
I don't know what my thing then? Is.
Who was your favorite member of the Rat Pack? Is that your? I don't know. You're old. As what did you watch back then? Which
favorite dinosaur?
Which cigarette spokesman on the Dumont Network was your favorite? Is that? Oh, that was a thing.
Muppet. Could have been a Muppet, I think.
With our one of our United Way families this year, there was a kid, and the kid was really into dinosaurs, and Trish was like, "I'm having trouble picking them apart." Because his favorite was an Ankylosaurus. And I was like, is it Ankylosaurus? And she's like, yeah, but it kind of looks like it. And I was like, were you not a dinosaur kid? I thought you had to be a dinosaur kid in this. Maybe, again, a boy thing. But I was like, yeah. And I had to guide her through making sure she got. I was like, she's like, I only know like three names of dinosaurs. I was like, I'm not even much of a dinosaur kid, and I can do a dozen at least. Like,
wow.
I think, well, because also being of a certain age means, well, and again, maybe this is a toy, because back in the day, they were very gendered on their toys, but all the toys of my childhood thought dinosaurs should be involved. Mm. There were whole cartoons about it, and but no, Ankylosaurus kicks ass, and Ankylosaurus has, like, no neck. And the big thing is it has the spike mace tail.
Mm.
I think she was making up with a Stegosaurus, and I was like, you Philistine. Totally different. Favorite yes. dinosaur?
I never really had a favorite dinosaur.
I'm trying to include you, William, in the human race here. I'm trying.
But
you've given me nothing to work with.
Something. I must have had a favorite something.
Do you know those comics that are aliens and they say things in weird speech? They're all blue. They're little comic strips. And so it's a popular webcomic. I actually have a drawing of them that is just that says Chaos is How I Learn. That just has one of them like on the floor with some blocks. Ah, well then you're useless to me. There's a TV show of it. They animated a full-ass TV show. It's on Apple TV Plus.
Oh.
So, let's see what that's about. All right, we should do our weekly quest.
Yes, side quest.
Yes. Yeah, your main quest is just, I don't know, as you are, everybody. Keep that up. Unless it's bad, then don't. Something recently brought me back to that same thing from the episode of Obsessive Pop Culture Disorder where Dan's like, I want to make my position on drugs very clear. No one should ever do drugs unless you want to. I don't care. And I was like, yeah, that's all right. Pick a number.
3.
Fulfilled the brief. All right. Which of these do you think is 3?
That one.
Is it this one? No.
Yeah, that's...
That's clearly 3.
I had a favorite Muppet, Kermit. Does that count for anything? Let's see, Kermit...
Not really, and less so given that it's Kermit. Mm-hmm. That's like having like your favorite Mario character is Mario. Like,
But that doesn't that say anything? Doesn't that mean anything?
No, it's literally the one choice that means nothing. I guess it says something in that it means nothing. You're like, I like a thing, and this is the nearest part to that thing here. I like just an average mascot. Whatever's the first thing with your property.
That probably says it all, doesn't it?
Your favorite Smurf is probably Smurf.
I didn't have a favorite Smurf. Which I guess is just the same thing as you what you said.
This will be interesting. Review the archival data. Binge watch your favorite show with zero shame. I mean, first of all, side quest, I don't do anything with zero shame. And if I'm honest, I wouldn't want to. It's kind of a kink of mine.
Oh,
but second of all, if I was going to be ashamed, it would not be a binge watching my favorite show. I would watch my favorite show, except I don't really watch that. This will be a popular one. The quote on the bottom is from one Ms. River Tan. Seems she said at one point, "No power in the verse can stop me."
Hmm.
From binge watching my favorite show. I do think it's a sweet idea. I think it's fun to be like, I like that show. Let's go watch that show again. And then be into it. If you're like me, you might not be into it anymore. And some things you're scared to rewatch because you want to continue to be into them. And you think you'll lose that if you rewatch it. We'll see. All right. Now that we've done the side quest, I got a bunch of shit I didn't talk about. Like, literally my whole list. We forgot about it.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I just don't know how I forgot, but it is time. So, and it's all movies and stuff. Don't worry about it, people. So we'll save that for next time. There are things on there. There's probably going to be a lot more since then. My prescription is ready.
Oh, good.
Pharmacist.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go get that. And the rest of you, I hope you have a lovely week. Please email us. We didn't get to an email this week, but we hope to soon. I really like when we're doing that. And to do that, we need more emails. So please email us, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. I'll notice it. William might not. Or go to YouTube and comment there. I'll notice it. William definitely won't. And then listen again next week. But the biggest takeaways here, one, orphans are humans. And two is clearly I love you guys more than William does.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.